This is Irene Friedman, and the program is...
It's all about animals!
Yes, it is. And today we'll start off with some jokes, and then I'm going to start the next chapter in Ginger Pie. I'll do half this week and half next week. So you get half a pie today.
Oh, I love half. I love any kind of pie, Irene.
Peach or apple or cherry.
Oh, yeah. Rabbit pie, one of my favorites.
Well, that sounds disgusting. And after ginger pie, I'm going to finish the article I started last week about how to get your cat moving and knock off a few ounces, or in some cases, pounds. And then we'll see what else we have to finish up the half hour. But let's get started with the jokes.
Will that also work for me to lose maybe some pounds?
Well, they want the cat to get moving and get hunting and get playing.
Ooh, I need to do that, Irene.
And get some toys and play with the cat toys.
Oh, yes. I love cat toys.
Make your cat run up and down steps. That's another hint.
That's a lot of work, Irene.
Well, we have a problem with cat obesity.
Wow. Just like human obesity.
That's right. They overeat and they don't exercise enough.
I always say, here, kitty, here's the skin of my fried chicken.
Well, people like you, that's why cats get fat. So let's get started with the jokes, because I know you have some good ones.
Oh, Irene, I got some good ones. And here comes one right now. What is heavy forward but not backward, Irene? What is heavy forward but not backward?
Is this an animal joke?
Nope.
Heavy forward. Daylight savings time?
It does make you feel heavy sometimes, don't it? But that's not
heavy
what I'm looking for.
Forward.
But not backwards. Yeah, I could see where that would work. I'd feel pretty good going backward there.
Heavy forward.
But not backward.
Footprint?
Nope.
A football player? Isn't forward a position on a football team?
Oh, yeah, that's pretty good, but nope.
But this isn't an animal joke.
Nope.
What is heavy forward?
But not backward.
Heavy
forward, but not backward.
Heavy forward. A scale goes forward, and then you get heavier.
Nope.
I get.
What is... This is so funny, Irene. What is heavy forward, but not backward? Ton. T-O-N. Backward. What's not backward?
Oh, my goodness.
Irene, that was so funny. I was even laughing before I gave the answer.
Okay. Well, you know what? You got me so confused with that joke. I've lost my place.
Oh, no,
so hold
Irene.
On. Let me see if this is the right book.
I think it is, yes. Because I know you just threw everything up in the air.
Okay. That was very good. Okay.
Yep.
What kind of luggage do vultures take on airplanes?
What kind of luggage do vultures take on
airplanes?
Airplanes. So does it have to be an airplane they're taking their baggage on, Irene?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it has to be an airplane. Yeah. So it'd be a bird luggage. Let's see. They are vultures, so they do fly like an airplane.
No, it's a type of... What kind of luggage do vultures take on airplanes?
When you say vulture, why were you looking at me like a vulture? I mean, that's weird, Irene. That's weird.
I'm sorry. I never thought of you as being vulture-like.
Okay. What kind of luggage do they take? I would say like alligator luggage or vulture lunch pails, Irene. That's what they take. They take lunch pails.
Nope.
What's the answer, Irene?
Carry on.
Okay, Irene, what do you call sad coffee, Irene? What do you call sad coffee?
Sad coffee?
Sad. Oh, so sad. That coffee is so sad, Irene. It's a sad coffee.
Is it sad coffee?
What do you call sad coffee? You don't call it to your cup, I don't think. But what do you call sad coffee?
Is this another backwards-forwards joke?
Nope. I don't think so. Well, I don't know. I don't think so.
A sad expression, espresso, sad coffee.
I thought you were going to have it, Irene. I thought you almost had it.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
With espresso?
Yes, Irene. What do you call sad coffee?
Depresso?
Ooh, yes, that's it, Irene.
Is it? No. Well, that's pretty stupid, because I try to give a stupid answer. Depresso.
Depresso.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, come on, Irene. That was pretty good, Irene.
Okay. Next joke for you.
Okay. Do I get it? Do I get it yet?
No, I've not read it yet.
Okay, because I'm on pins and needles waiting. Irene.
Okay.
You're leaving me in suspense.
How do amphibians get to the Land of Oz?
How do the amphibians get to the Land of Oz? In a Sharknado, Irene. Because it was like a tornado that took Dorothy there.
Was it a tornado or a cyclone?
It was a tornado, but they call them cyclones, you know.
Is there a difference between a tornado and a cyclone?
I don't think so. One is, you know, closer to, I don't know.
I thought you knew everything. Nope. How do amphibians get to the Land of Oz?
The submachine, the submarine, amphibian machine. Land of Oz, where the they have a horse of different color, Irene. Horse of different colors in the Land of Oz. I don't know, Irene.
They follow the yellow brick toad.
Oh!
Okay.
Okay, I got a good one here for you, Irene.
Okay, this is our last round.
Okay, did you hear about the hungry clock, Irene? Clock. Did you hear about the hungry
it
clock?
It ate ticks?
Nope. I suppose it could, but nope.
The hungry,
hungry
clock.
Eat ticks, wasn't it? I love ticks.
It ate time and wasted time.
Nope.
The hungry clock.
Did you hear about the hungry clock?
No.
Okay. Well, you didn't hear about the hungry clock?
No.
Nothing rings a bell to you?
It was alarming that it was so hungry?
It would be, but nope, that's not what
I don't know.
Did you hear about the hungry clock? Oh, it went back for seconds.
Oh, gosh. These are really good today.
4 seconds.
Okay. Our last joke for today. Did we tell you about our favorite biology teacher and why?
Well, Irene, I thought that I read about that favorite biology teacher. He loved school inside and out, Irene? No, I don't know. I mean, you know, in biology, don't you, like, cut apart salamanders?
Well, I hope not.
Okay. Biology. Well, I know that I did, but I don't remember, Irene.
Well, our favorite biology teacher, she taught us a real lesson. Taught us a real lesson. Pretty funny, huh?
Inside and out.
Well, you know what? That concludes the joke segment of the program. Yeah.
Okay, well, bye-bye.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. And now we're going to turn to Ginger Pie. And this chapter is called The Yellow Hat Again. And remember, they suspect that this mysterious person wearing a yellow hat could be a person who took Ginger the dog, who's been missing since November. But they've not given up hope. Jerry and Rachel continued to be on the lookout for the man with the yellow hat, for they were sure that where they saw the hat, they would likewise see Ginger. This important day was the 29th of May, a sort of holiday because it was Jerry's birthday. It happened also to be a Saturday. Early in the morning, Rachel and Jerry set out to explore the great field below the railroad station for wild strawberries, which usually grew there in abundance, which they were very fond of, crushed up with milk and sugar. They would surprise Uncle Benny with a cupful of these when he arrived for his regular Saturday morning visit, which was going to be an all-day visit since it was Jerry's birthday. The field was still wet with dew, and it was covered with juicy little ripe berries. Rachel and Jerry filled 3 cups besides eating a good quantity as they picked. They tasted so good, they then ate all they had picked except Uncle Benny's. They were tired of picking any more, and since Uncle Benny was so little and probably could not eat a whole cupful, they then ate half of his. Now, they had none left to eat with milk and sugar, but this did not really matter since it was Jerry's birthday and they might be going to have ice cream. A scraggy hill covered with pale wild roses led up to the railroad station, and they clambered up it, for they imagined they were just in time to see the Banker's Express go roaring by. Naturally, the Banker's Express never stopped in Cranberry, but Jerry and Rachel loved to watch the speedy train whenever they could and wave to the engineer and the passengers and catch a glimpse of people eating in the dining car, not just sandwiches they had packed, real bacon and eggs and coffee on beautiful white tablecloths. Why, the coffee stayed on the tables instead of slopping all over the people and into the aisles was a mystery, the fast way the train went. Anyway, it must, or so many people would not eat in this dangerous fashion. The railroad station was one of their most favorite places in the entire town of Cranberry. While waiting for the Banker's Express, they got weighed on the baggage scale several times. They shook the peanut machine and the gum machine for stray pennies, peanuts, and gum. Then they got weighed again with and without their sweaters on. Then they went back out on the platform for, according to the clock, it was about time for the Banker's Express. Look at the way the railroad tracks meet way off there, said Jerry. Said Rachel, that's perspective, she said, for she had just learned this in school. Agreed, Jerry, perspective. Then, into this perspective, there came a little dot, and it grew rapidly larger and larger, with a line of smoke falling along above it. Here it comes, shouted Jerry. Here comes the Banker's Express, shouted Rachel, and they both stood back, expecting to see the train go streaking by the way it always did. But the train didn't streak by. It slowed up and did an unheard-of thing for the Banker's Express. It stopped. And Cranberry, where it never stopped and nonetheless stopped, it came to a standstill in such a way that the last coach was at the platform where Jerry and Rachel were standing. Being a very long train, the front of it must be almost out to the reservoir, Rachel and Jerry imagine. The train lurched forward and backwards for a few moments as though in perplexity as to what to do. Then it stopped again. It's getting water or something, Jerry explained. Jerry and Rachel were so excited watching the important train lurch forward and backward and do such an odd thing as stop here at the Cranberry Railroad Station that they did not notice a big boy standing on the rear platform. But this boy noticed them, and he was watching them intently, and maybe it was his dark, glowering glance that finally made them look at him. Good night. It was Wally Bullwinkle. Wally Bullwinkle with no hat on the Banker's Express. Where are you going, Wally? Yelled Jerry. Going to New York, Wally? Asked Rachel. Going to the Museum of Natural History? Asked Jerry. Wally met these friendly questions with a surly grimace. He thrust out his lower lip and looked as though he would like to pick a fight. What are you mad at? Asked Jerry curiously. Wally answered something, but what he said they never knew, for at this moment the train slowly and evenly began to move. Wally slapped a hat on his head, and there he stood, Wally Bullwinkle, with an old yellow hat on a Banker's Express. But a gust of wind snatched Wally's hat off, and though he tried to grab it, it was no use. The hat was gone. Wally's hat landed on the platform and rolled to Jerry's feet. It was an old yellow felt hat on the order of the one unsavory character had worn. Jerry looked at the hat, and he looked at the train gathering speed now with Wally clinging to the back railing with one hand and feeling his bare head with the other in bewilderment. Then the train disappeared around the bend, and the Banker's Express with Wally Bullwinkle on it was gone. Rachel and Jerry stared at the hat, and they stared at each other, and Rachel said breathlessly, "He did have an old yellow hat after all, wasn't Spots Before Her Eyes at the Skeleton House was a hat like Unsavory's." Jerry picked up the hat. Neither he nor Rachel yet connected this yellow hat that belonged to Wally Bullwinkle, a boy in Jerry's class and the owner of a dog as ferocious, so Wally claimed, as the one that bit the nose off Bitnose Ned with the yellow hat of Unsavory, whose picture they had drawn so often as the villain in the story of the disappearance of Ginger Pie. Jerry said, "We'll save his old hat for him when he comes back." Rachel said, "It looks like Wally was going away for good. He had a going away for good look about him." "Oh," said Jerry slowly with remembering, "he might be. He said in the schoolyard the other day that he and his pop, he hasn't any mother, were going to join a vaudeville show. They had been training for it, he said. It's what his pop used to do, he said. We didn't believe him, Dick Badger and me, because he's always saying something ain't true. He might have an act with that fierce dog he owns, said Rachel. And then suddenly the same thought struck both of them. The fierce dog might be a ruse. The dog for the act might be Ginger. The hat, screamed Rachel. Has it got the mark in it? The mark, you know, the red mark? Muttering, of course not. This is Wally's old hat, not the unsavory character's. Still, Jerry paled, and he took the hat into the bright sunshine, and he turned down the inside band, and there, sure enough, there was the red crayon mark just where Dick Badger had put it that day at the reservoir. And there Wally Bullwinkle was on the Banker's Express, and perhaps he was leaving the town of Cranberry forever. And all along, he probably was the one who had stolen Ginger, not the villain they had drawn the picture of. Was Ginger on the train, too, in the baggage car? And did this mean they would never, ever see their dog, Ginger, again? He might still not have been the one, murmured Rachel. He might be one of a yellow hat band of people and not be the one, she said, like I said. No, said Jerry, no. They both stared down the silent, shimmering tracks where the train with Wally had gone. We could catch the next train, suggested Rachel, and trail him in New York. She knew this was impossible, but she had to think of something. Could we have him apprehended in New York, she wondered. There must be something they could do. Call in Mr. Pye, thought Rachel. And she said they'd better hurry home and ask Papa what to do anyway. Papa might go to New York himself and bump into Wally on the escalator the way he had Mama. He would do something. And that's where we're going to stop today. And we'll find out next week what has happened to Wally Bullwinkle. Okay, last week, I started an article called Get Fit or Get Kitty Fit or Get Fit Kitty. It's kind of confusing with the way it must be Get Fit Kitty because the exclamation mark comes after kitty. But ways you can get your cat to lose some weight. I started the section called Get Hunting, and then I ran out of time, so I'm going to start that again. I did not get too far into what you can do. Get Hunting. So how can cats use movement to lose weight? Think of it as movement, not a workout per se, but moving to hunt, which is the reason how we feed cats is important. People tend to leave out food all the time. Most cat homes have multiple cats, and it's impossible to gauge who is eating what. The thinking that cats stop eating when they're filled is simply not true. Dr. Elizabeth Bales, inventor of the no-bowl feeding system, says we feed cats from bowls like we eat off plates as if cats are human. She adds, in nature, cats hunt and catch many small portions, the more the better. The cat's stomach is only the size of a ping-pong ball. Also, given most cats' preference, they don't want to share food sources with others. The way which we feed cats not only causes weight issues, we also unknowingly often create all kinds of behavior problems, Dr. Bale says. Cats learn to hunt for their meals and naturally consume small quantities at a time. Searching for their meals activates their hardwired prey drive and offers physical exercise, particularly when food is hidden at various levels so the cat has to scamper onto a shelf or window ledge, as well as beneficial mental exercise. Dr. Bales created her own solution called the Indoor Hunting Cat Feeder. Devices resemble mice and kibble is deposited inside. The idea is to use three of these feeders per cat, at first near the cat's current bowl. Over time, spread the feeders out with the goal to ultimately hide them. If you feed moist food, you can portion out food into small dishes and place those around the house in the same manner. Next, we have Get Playing. Dr. Ward plays the laser light game with his cats. Of course, some obese cats will just look at the light and say, so what? But even if you can start by enticing the cat to move toward the light, it's a start, Dr. Ward advises. The only challenge with the laser toy is that the cat never really gets a chance to catch anything, which must be frustrating. This is easy to resolve by ending the game with dropping a low-calorie treat such as Bonito Flakes for the cat to kill. All cats are individuals, though most will express interest in an interactive toy, a fishing pole-type toy with feathers or fabric. Start with the cat batting at the end, move to the cat following it, then get the cat to chase it for 10 seconds. That's all you need. Short bursts of energy is the goal. The good news is that there have never been so many cat toys on the market as there are today. Then again, for many cats, a wine cork or aluminum foil ball can make for great fun. Create tunnels for cats to move through. Sure, more svelte cats may run right through, but again, it's just a matter of adding more steps. Think of your cat's exercise regimen as one step at a time. There are other advantages of interactive play. You can see your cat is moving, and it builds the human-animal bond, Dr. Ward explains. Get stepping. Small steps do matter. It's the same idea as you counting your daily steps. If you live in a multi-level home, encourage your cat to go upstairs and downstairs multiple times daily. Encourage your cat to follow you as you do housework. When you get off the sofa, take your cat off your lap and place him down in another room, forcing him to simply walk back to where he was. With appropriate adjustments in diet and increased movement, the goal is to drop ounces. You may not even notice there's a change before a pound, and then another pound eventually falls off. Slow and steady is best. Then we have a sidebar, feeding matters. For cats, following veterinary direction for appropriate diet is the first step to losing weight. Dr. Elizabeth Bales says to have realistic expectations and understand that the cat didn't grow to be 18 pounds overnight, so losing weight should take a while. While crash diets aren't a good idea for people or for dogs, it's a horrible idea and potentially life-threatening for cats. The result is cannibalizing the cat's own liver, Dr. Ward says. Hepatic lipidosis is a potentially fatal condition that occurs when cats stop eating, forcing the liver's function to be severely compromised. And then we have the American Association of Feline Practitioners recently released a document called How to Feed a Cat Addressing Behavioral Needs, which is available free at catfriendly.com. Again, catfriendly.com. The article was written by Steve Dale, who's a certified animal behavior consultant who's authored several books, including the e-book Good Cat, and it's contributed to many, including The Cat, Clinical Medicine and Management, edited by Dr. Susan Little. And then we have photos, a rather chubby calico cat. From the back end, we see her going up the steps. We see another cat on someone's lap being petted. And that cat doesn't look particularly big, but maybe that goes along with get off the couch, put your cat in another room. Another cat is playing with a fishing pole toy. And another one is looking at something on, looking at the laser beam on the floor. Yeah, she looks a little chunky. They have a Siamese cat sitting on a bathroom scale. And those are the photographs, and that is the end of the article. Okay, moving on to Modern Dog Magazine. Under Body and Soul, Summer Bummers, Hidden Dog Dangers. Summer, with its sunshine, beach romps, and fresh emerald grass, seems a dog's paradise. But the summer season actually poses the most dangers to our pets. The biggest culprit of them all is the sun, leading to scorched paws, sunburns, heat stroke, and even loss of life. Every year, lives are lost due to extreme heat in cars. Heat can rise rapidly in cars on a sunny day. Temperatures rise about 10 degrees centigrade or 50 degrees Fahrenheit above the temperature outside within 10 minutes. San Francisco State University meteorologist Jan Null tells the Globe and Mail. About 30 minutes, it's 19 degrees centigrade or 66 degrees Fahrenheit hotter in a car than it is outside. It's a lot hotter than most people think, Null says, on a 27 degrees centigrade day or 80 degrees Fahrenheit. The dashboard can be 82 degrees centigrade or 180 degrees Fahrenheit or hotter. Since dogs and children are smaller on average than their parents, their core temperatures can increase 3 to 5 times faster than that of an adult. So if you're running errands, leave your dog at home. Everything has a way of taking longer than you expected to. The sun can also wreak havoc on your dog's sensitive paws. The surface of an asphalt road can get as hot as 140 degrees Fahrenheit on a hot summer day. Would you want to walk barefoot on that? If you live somewhere hot, protect your dog's feet with a pair of dog booties. Muttlucks, for instance, that's M-U-T-T-L-U-K apostrophe S, makes weatherproof boots that afford great protection against the sun and do double duty protecting your pup's paws from salt and ice in the winter. And sunburns for dogs are real. Just because dogs have fur coats doesn't mean they are protected from burns. Thin-coated and light-colored dogs are particularly vulnerable, and the delicate noses and ears of all dogs are susceptible to the sun's harsh rays. The University of Saskatchewan advises the use of pet-specific sunscreens only, not human sunscreens, which can contain ingredients that are harmful to dogs, such as zinc oxide, octyl salicylate, and ethyl hexyl salicylate. Warren London Dog Sunscreen, which is non-toxic and contains moisturizing aloe vera, is a great choice. Be sure to keep your dog hydrated with plenty of water. The American Kennel Club warns to be aware of signs of dehydration, including reduced energy levels, panting, loss of appetite, dry nose and gums, and sunken dry-looking eyes. Water can be dangerous as well. An alarming number of dogs drown in swimming pools every year. Install a pet ramp such as scamper ramp in your pool so that your pup can climb out if she falls in, and prevent your dog from reaching the water unsupervised in the first place with a pet enclosure or gate. Lucky Dog Pet Kennels provides enclosures that put an emphasis on dog safety, great for even escape artist dogs like huskies. And then in parentheses, they also make kennels with roofs to provide shelter and protect against UV protection. If your dog ever does, that's what it says in protect against UV protection. I don't know if they really mean protection there, because you're protecting them. If your dog ever does escape your house, yard, or pet sitter, you can be prepared for that as well. The American Humane Association estimates that 10 million dogs and cats are lost or stolen in the United States every year. Set up your pup with a Help for Pets ID tag, and that's numeral 4. These easy-to-spot ID tags are like a 911 call for your pet. If someone finds your dog and calls the number, they're connected with a team of specialists who will contact you and help in any emergency. You can ensure that medical treatment is authorized in case your pet is found injured and you can't be located, or they can provide emergency vet referrals if your vet is unavailable or if you are traveling. With nothing to plug in or scan, you can ensure that help for your dog is just a phone call away. And then this is illustrated with a photograph. It looks like a yellow lab who is stretched out on the side of a swimming pool, and he's taking a nap and looks like he is enjoying the summer. Well, with the conclusion of that article, I see that I am completely out of time for this week. So until next week, this is Irene Freeman, ASL. Please spay and neuter your cats and dogs. I volunteer at a no-kill shelter, and the number of calls we've taken on kittens being born and found under porches and being dumped, it's been unbelievable this year. So spay and neuter. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening, and have a great day and a great week. Bye, everyone.